Hi, I'm Derek. I'm Dutch, but I live in London. So if you hear a slightly English accent, that's why. Sorry, these cables are a bit in the way. I work for a company called Tengen. We make MongoDB. This talk has only, 25% MongoDB content. I will be talking about lots of other things as well. This is a bit of a hobby project, and I found it quite interesting to give a talk about it here. So let's get started. How many of you here are familiar with Foursquare? Foursquare, yeah? Do you use it as well? No? See, I know that I think in Germany, Foursquare is not nearly as much used as in other countries, like in the US or the UK or Japan. It's so there, and I've gotten a bit addicted to it. So basically, what Foursquare allows you to do is, well, first of all, it allows you to find things to do and see and eat. As you can see, it a nice map in the background is actually based on OpenStreetMap maps. And yeah, then you have an app on your phone that allows you to do things like, oh, I'm checking in that I'm in the office, and things like that, right? And you can also see where your friends are, or in this case, my coworkers. And oh, that wasn't me. See, breaking stuff again. All right, and yeah, so you can see where your friends are. It's very handy to figure out. It's a very good stalking app as well, to be fair. In my living room, I have like a monitor hooked up to a Raspberry Pi that tells me what my latest Foursquare check-in is. So, of course, this is not only handy for myself, but my fiancée sees it as well, so she knows what time I'm getting home, or I can see when she's getting home to put on dinner. But you know, it allows you basically to check in to properties, to check in just to say that you're there. It's all pretty useless if you ask me, but I'm still sort of addicted to it. Now, this is a map of all my Foursquare check-ins here. Well, in this part of the map. Sorry, my voice is breaking up here. This isn't so bad, but if you zoom out a little bit, and then hoping the internet works, and I get a nice map in the background. No, of course not. Live demos are like that. I was connected. Let me just try that very quickly because maybe I have to do something like nope. All right. Sorry, no nice maps for you guys. That is a bit problematic, but I can zoom in again and hopefully there's a cache, an image cache, that will get me through my examples at least. There we go. So as you can see, this is my check-ins here that I've made. And yeah, I made like a little app so I can click on it and see a bit better where I've checked in. I haven't updated all my latest data, but Bahnhof, Siegberg, and things like that. Right? No, as I said, this is all pretty useless because the only thing it really allows you to do is check in and get badges for stuff and say, oh, I'm the major of this place. But as you can see, I'm still quite addicted to it. And I don't quite understand why. So yeah, this is statistics. You can see who's having more points than you are, and you get badges for stuff, and I'm the major of a pub and Heathrow Express train station. I travel a lot, so I'm in Heathrow a lot. And yeah, all those kind of badges, and yeah. But that's it, really it, right? Now, the interesting thing is that Foursquare, they actually use OpenStreetMap as a mapping background layer. And what it also allows you to do is actually add new points of interest. However, the points of interest that you add are not added to OpenStreetMap. They're only added to Foursquare's database itself, right? So what I'm doing basically here is I'm giving Foursquare data that I'd rather have in OpenStreetMap as well, because that's handier. Now, when I was doing the research for this talk, I actually found out that Foursquare very recently, like 2 weeks ago, have actually rolled out something to their super users, which are some kind of special group of users which have the capability of editing data. And they now have the capabilities of actually adding the data back into OpenStreetMap as well. So that's really quite cool. However, that didn't exist when I started writing this talk. So let's forget that ever happened, and we'll see what comes out of that at some point. So what I wanted to do is, instead of adding data to OpenStreetMap to Foursquare, what is much nicer if people would an app similar to this to add things to OpenStreetMap, right? Now, there's a few mobile applications that allow you to do this. They're often quite complicated or quite buggy. I don't like editing things on the mobile because it's so small, right? And I can't type words correctly ever on this, especially when I'm here in Germany with all the funny characters. But yeah, I still want to do a bit more with that, and yeah, we'll decide, well, let's see what we can do here. All right, so a little bit about OpenStreetMap. How many of you have not heard of OpenStreetMap? Okay, that's enough. I'll give an explanation. So, Wikipedia. Have you all heard of that? Right? Yeah, I would feel so. Well, OpenStreetMap is basically the same thing, but then for geographical data. Everybody can add data to it. Everybody can also delete data, and everything that you submit to it is available under an open license. So, unlike Google Maps, where you can only see the map tiles coming back, OpenStreetMap allows you access to the data underneath there. So you can, for example, import the database for Germany and figure out where all the restaurants are or where major roads are and do something with the data as much as you want to do. Except that you need OpenStreetMap as a data provider. So that's not really a lot of requirements that they have there. All right, so OpenStreetMap.org is a website that shows you the map as long as the internet is working, of course. And but that is not the goal of the project. The goal of the project is to make a database of all this data. Right? So the data point is what is valuable. What you see on the website on OpenStreetMap.org is just a simple rendering. If you go to OpenStreetMap.de, the German variant, you won't actually see a map at all to start with because their website is set up for people to start using the data and contributing the data. So there's a bit of a different focus. Now, of course, you show off that OpenStreetMap is actually really quite good, especially here in Germany. OpenStreetMap.org will have the map there as a front page. But there's other things as well. There's APIs that allow you to add and retrieve data from in different formats. And it's also a bit of a social platform, right? So I moved to London about 4.5 years ago. I've always liked mapping and walking and pubs. Always good in London. And I was walking in the countryside, and in the UK there's a mapping agency called Ordnance Survey, and they make really accurate maps. But there's no such thing as... first of all, it's really expensive, and secondly, there's no mobile app for that, right? So what I wanted to do is I have my Garmin GPS, and I wanted to have maps on that, and I looked at it, and the most up-to-date maps were for something like 3 years ago. And which is not good enough for walking in the mountains anymore, right? Or, well, we don't really have mountains in England. Hills, but there you go. So I had a mobile phone, and I thought, well, maybe there's some other data sources available. So I found OpenStreetMap as a tile layer. And I was doing the hiking, and yeah, it was pretty accurate. But then, of course, I found a path that wasn't in the map, and like, that's kind of rubbish. So I thought, well, this is OpenStreetMap, right? I can add it myself. And that's how I started doing it. Now I go to the bi-weekly meetups if I'm in the country, go to the pub, do some mapping parties, go out and yeah, figure out what there is still left to map in London. And I enjoy doing it. It's a nice bunch of people there. They're all geeks just like me, right? So always fun. All right, so the data itself that you download in OpenStreetMap is a bunch of XML. It's one big XML file. If you want to download all the data of the planet, you can do that. It's about 26 gigabytes compressed XML. I would not recommend you uncompress that because it's 700 gigabytes or something like that. I haven't tried lately, so I don't quite remember anymore. But in there, you see the data ordered in three different data points. So you have nodes, ways, and relations. A node is basically a point. It's a point on the map. As you can see here in the top one, this point is a latitude of 50, a latitude of 50 and a longitude of 8.3. Anybody wants to guess where that is? No? From what I remember, that's in Berlin. But I might be mistaken. I've gotten really good at figuring out which coordinates belong to which cities after giving presentations often. Yeah. And then the other data point is a way. And a way is used for roads. And as you can see here, the way doesn't have any sort of coordinates attached to that, but it has pointers to node IDs. So in order to figure out where a road actually is, you need to go through all... Sorry, if you want to figure out where a way is, you need to go through all of the nodes At the moment, we have 2 billion of them. So you can see that the data set is so large, right, that yeah, you need to have some kind of solution that can do this really fast. Now, I've managed to import data for the whole of the UK, and I can just manage that on my laptop. My laptop here has 8 gigabytes of RAM. It has nice, fast SSDs in there, but that's about the limitation that I can do here. So at some point, I need to figure out a way how to scale it up to the whole planet, but I haven't gotten there yet. But of course, for my purpose, adding data, I don't actually need the whole planet loaded, right? I'm only interested in a subset in the first place. Okay, so either a node or a way is described with tags. And tags are in the form of, you have a key called address or address colon house number with house number, and then a value which is 375, which basically means the house number is 375. Also, it has keywords like amenity or a shop, and then it tells you what it is. So in this case, this is the address of a pub, and the name of the pub is the North London Tavern. It's kind of a rubbish pub, but it's the first example I found. Okay, there's one other data element in there that I'm not showing in the slide, which is relations. And a relation is basically a collection of other nodes and ways, or other relations. In all of my examples, I'm not looking at that yet because it's so complicated that I just haven't bothered yet. And most points of interest, like restaurants, are not modeled as relations anyway, so not much of a problem here. Now, editing tags we do in an interface, I like to use one that's called JOSM, which stands for Java OpenStreetMap. For once, it's actually a Java application that works really, really well. It's written by mostly a group of Germans here, I think, which is actually quite interesting. Most of the tools that deal with OpenStreetMap data are mostly written by Germans, which is awesome. They do a lot of good work here. Anyway, this is the editor that I use. This is Oxford Street, if you might recognize that. I'm not sure why there's no people there, because often it's just so busy that you can't see anything but people there. And that's why I don't tend to go there. You see this red line on the image that I took, right? Which is then the same as this red line here on the map. Now, I know this is a bit small, but this is basically in the editor where you add the text. So what we have here, we have highway secondary, which tells you it's a secondary road. There's name, which is Regent Street. There's a Russian name, which is the Cyrillic transliteration of Regent Street. Why that has been added, I don't know. But it's quite interesting because everybody can add tags, and the tags are not predefined, so you can always invent your own if you want to do that, which sometimes is handy. In other cases, a bit silly. Because I think I found a tree somewhere in a map that had the tags panda equals yes, and I was wondering why. And when you walk past the tree, there's actually a stuffed panda in the tree, and has been there for years, so I thought it was quite funny. So lots of tags in there, and yeah, of course we need to store this, right? So adding data we do with mapping parties. The data needs to be generated. It's mostly done by surveys, people going out with a GPS, pen and paper, walking through places, and figuring out all new details. And it is a lot more fun to do a bit more than just one person. One of my friends, Rick Ogden, he was quite proud that he added another postbox to the map. This is a bit of an internal joke. I like the red postboxes in London. I just don't know. I like taking photos of them. And yeah, I have a whole collection of photos of red postboxes. And I found there's one here, actually, on the Market Square in St. Augustine. Why, I don't know. There's also a red telephone. In any case, just add some funny images to it. He was proud. Apparently I was supposed to be proud that he added another postbox. Now, this is quite some time ago. Actually, Rick has added a lot of data to OpenStreetMap, so I'm actually proud of him, but not because of this postbox. All right. So, besides mapping things in cities like London or in Germany or here, because this is an open project, right, everybody can contribute. So, a side project of OpenStreetMap, which is called Humanitarian, it's a difficult word for me to pronounce, Humanitarian OpenStreetMap team, they go to developing countries and explain to the populations there how to map their own areas. So this is Kibera. Kibera is one of the largest slums in the world. It's a slum of Nairobi. And what this team did, they went there with a couple of GPSs and showed the locals there how to map. And now they have this incredibly detailed map of their slum, right? It doesn't show all the buildings because they'll fall down and new ones are built. But some things in there are really, really important. So this map actually loaded off the internet. Why that happened, I don't know. So that probably means I can get to zoom in as well. Funny. Very funny. So the internet's very... Nope. I don't know. Something might be cached. But if you zoom in, you actually see that the things that they mapped are water points, health clinics, toilet facilities. They only map the things that are really important for them, which is actually really quite good. Anyway, that's about entering data. So what I want to focus on in my application is not actually adding data, but improving already existing data. Now, I have a happy smiley face slide here. I always like happy smiley face slides. And a bunch of text, and I won't read it up. It's basically one of the OpenStreetMap, marketing slides. And I thought I'd be putting it up here. Because if you add data to OpenStreetMap, you're actually helping a non-profit organization, right? And you'd be able to get the data out of there yourself. Now, if you add data to Foursquare, you get a sad face. Because a few different reasons. Adding data to Foursquare means you're giving a commercial entity data that you can't really do anything with yourself. It also only does points of interest. It doesn't do things like roads or buildings, only points, which makes me a bit sad as well. And it's a commercial entity, right? They want to protect their data set. Now, luckily, that is not as much as the case as I actually feared, because they're actually working with OpenStreetMap to get the data flowing both ways. But as I said, they're not quite there yet. Right, so what I want to do is create a tool called Triangle. You have Foursquare and then Triangle. I thought it was funny, but I haven't figured out the branding yet because, as you can see, I haven't created the logo, which is, of course, the most important thing of every software that you write. So the ideas behind this tool is that the data already has points of interest. Like restaurants are there, some have an address, some don't have a telephone number, some of them don't even say have a name or tell you what kind of food it is. So the idea here is that I will present people with a local map of the area where they currently are, which is quite simple to do by using HTML5 local services, right? And allow people to check into places. Now, you're not getting points for just checking in. You're getting points for updating the data and making it better. This is built all on top of MongoDB, hence the gamifying OpenStreetMap with MongoDB. And there's still lots and lots of things to do. This is a hobby project, as I said. It works sort of-ish, but it's by far not really finished. There's plenty of things that I still need to do. I need to come up with some fancy badges that if people all updated their 17th restaurant, then they get a restaurant connoisseur badge and stuff like that. But that is all still in the future. But there is an interesting thing is that I had to consider is which points of interest am I going to focus in there, right? I can't pick all of them because that's just too much points on the map. So what do you focus on? Okay, this is a bit how it looks like at the moment. This is our local area here. And you see everything that has blue lines around it, you can click on. Now, I will change how this looks like because it looks rubbish. But as you can see here, it's very difficult to see, but this is a bank, right? Or a cash machine. I can't actually see that. But let me click on this, and then you get to see this thing. You get a little bit of a description, and you have a check-in button, which is here. I will not be clicking this, but because if you scroll up a little bit, there is a restaurant here called Blumenhof, and that doesn't have a lot of information yet. I know it's a bit small, but the only information it has here, it's a house number, the address, that it is a restaurant, and that it has wheelchair access. So the wheelchair access actually comes from another project called WheelMap. And WheelMap is started by a German guy in a wheelchair, and he got annoyed by not knowing whether a restaurant or a bar where his friends were going to meet him. He actually could get into the place or get into the toilets in there, which is really quite important, especially when you go meet friends in the pub, right? And he actually wrote a tool around OpenStreetMap that just allows you to select whether points of interest have good wheelchair access. And that's the only thing it does, but it does it really, really well. So from my point of view, what I wanted to do is make it about as easy as that to add things to the map. So this is Blumenhof. Anybody familiar with this restaurant? No, you're not from St. Augustine here? That's because you closed the door. Yeah. Yeah. But this is by far better noise, if you ask me. I think it is the air pressure conditioning thingy that does it or something. Okay, fair enough. At the moment, we'll have to deal with the outside noise. So, but this restaurant, it doesn't have the postcode, which is important information, and neither does it tell you what sort of restaurant it is, right? Does it serve German food? Is it Italian? Is it Croatian? Is it a pizza place? I wouldn't know. From the name, I would guess it's a German restaurant, but you never really quite know, right? So what you're allowed to do is I can press check in. Actually, I won't do that here. I will do it on the side because the slides, the application in the slide doesn't really work very well yet. So I haven't fixed that yet, so I have to do it outside. So I can click on Blumenhof again, and I click check in. And then, you get a very, very basic HTML, if you can see. I do not know how to design things. So I might fix it or not, because even though this is a very basic interface, it's not fancy, and it loads really, really fast, and which is important on a mobile platform. I will probably do something about the alignment of things, because it just looks horrible. So basically, you get like this page, and what you can do here is you can change the name, or you can change any field except for that it is a restaurant. At the moment, I might change that as well at some point. I don't know. So what I've already done earlier is I have given suggestions for a few keys, right? So address postcode says current wasn't filled in yet, and I have then given a suggestion. I realize that it's totally wrong because it apparently needs to start with a 5 in this area, but it's just an example, right? And then you get on the site radio buttons, whether you agree with a suggestion. So there's two parts of this. There's suggesting values for keys, and there's also an improvement process in place so that you can't add random data and get lots of points, because that'd be kind of crap, right? You want to make sure that you get quality data and not just quantity. Now, besides this, it doesn't really do anything, so I'll go back to the slide and talk a little bit more about some of the other things in it. All right, so before I started even doing anything with this, I had to fetch the data. As I already said, the whole planet is a bad idea to do because it's 26 gigabytes. I actually can download that quite fast, but I have by far not enough space to import that into the database. So it is better to just go for a whole country, like England, or you can pick cities such as Manchester. What I've done in my example here, I've downloaded just the area from St. Augustine because it's a nice small example. You can get that information by requesting this URL. So this is Overpass API, again, made by Germans, which has an export functionality of OpenStreetMap data, and you can give it a bounding box. And a bounding box are the most east, west, north, and south points in a different order than I just mentioned. But what Overpass also allows you to do is get data only for specific types of points. At the moment, I've imported everything, but I don't really need to import everything because I don't care about roads and things like forests or anything like that, right? But I'll make that better at some point. But Overpass allows you to download just the points that you're interested in. And Overpass also allows you to do a few more interesting queries around it. It allows you to, for example, find all the pubs that have real cider available, or it allows you to find all pubs within 20 meters from a bus stop, which can be quite handy if it's a good night out. And things like that. So, yeah, Overpass is really quite a powerful language, but also really quite complex, if you ask me. So I don't tend to use it too much. Now, after I've downloaded this data, I need to import it, right? And I've already mentioned that the data in the XML file is ordered first by nodes, then by ways, and then by relations. So the thing is, even for St. Augustine, the amount of data points is like 200,000, which is a lot, if you think of it. But most of those nodes are parts of buildings or roads, and those points will not have tags associated with it, so I'm not interested in them. But I will still need to store them somewhere, because if I have a road, I need to be able to refer to all the data points again. So what I actually do is I will store nodes that have tags, like points of interest, into one collection, and nodes that and all nodes, but just the locations in another collection, so that I can do a very fast query against that when I start reading all the ways and have to look up the points that belong to each way. Now, what I also do is that when I'm done with this, I actually will remove this cache because I have no need for it anymore. I could probably keep it if I want to continuously want to keep updating the data, but I haven't gone there yet either. I also now actually parse relations in there, but only for very simple things. I will only parse multi-polygon relations, which is basically a collection of buildings, and that's the only thing I care about at the moment. Which is important for the Fachhochschule here, because it consists of two buildings, the building here and the one across the road, and then in OpenStreetMap that is mapped as a relation. And in my import script, I actually handle that correctly. So after the import script, I get data that looks a little bit like this. So the underscore ID is MongoDB's way of storing its unique key. It's not auto increment, but you can set it yourself. So what I've done here is I have used OpenStreetMap's node and for node, and then OpenStreetMap's ID for the node, because that's good enough as an ID for me. So I'll just keep it there. Then in the L field, I store the location. So in this case, it's a type of a point, and point has a longitude-latitude pair. It's quite important that you have longitude and latitude. So in MongoDB, all the documents are stored as JSON files. Well, they're not stored as JSON files, but a representation of JSON. And the interesting thing about this, unlike a relational database, is that you can actually store subdocuments, like I do here. Like L is actually a subdocument that has two fields again, like type and coordinates. And coordinates is a field that then has two values, which is an array, which you can't do in a relational database without doing joins. And the same thing for TS. TS stands for tags. And as you can see here, I have five different tags, and they're all an array as part of the TS field. If I create an index on TS, each of those values will be part of the index. So it allows you to index arrays as well in there quite easily. And then in the bottom, I have the field M, which stands for metadata. So it has the version of the object. I don't even know what CS stands for. UID is the user ID. And TS is then the timestamp when it was updated last. But I don't really care of those, so I actually do not store them anymore because it just takes up data that I don't care about. So this is the simple data point that we have. In MongoDB, you can do queries like follows. You have the name of the database. You use dot. Again, this is in JavaScript, hence the dots in there. So POY concat is the name of my collection, the collection that holds all my documents. And then I can call find on that. And find is a method for, well, you probably guessed it, finding documents in the collection. And then I can specify by key value pairs what my documents need to look like. So this is the most basic type of queries that you can do. The dot pretty basically means formatted nicely. If you don't do that, you get it all in one line, which in most cases, that's probably what you want. All right, so the question is really, which objects do we care about, right? As I said, I don't really care about the roads. I want to make this only as a tool for improving data of point of interest. So in the tags, you have a few things here, like there's a tag called amenity, there's a tag called shop, and there's a tag called tourism. Those are the only three I care about. Now, you might be wondering why I'm actually storing this as a concatenated string, because I saw some people looking quizzical about that. This is what I found out of experimentations, the fastest way of doing this. It takes up the least amount of index space, and I can still query against it as much as I want, because what I can do, as you can see here, is I can do finding all the amenities. I can call a regular expression search against that. Because the regular expression is anchored to the start of the string, this actually makes use of the index. So that's a really fast operation. Even though it looks ugly, it is actually really quite fast. And of course, I can also look for key value pairs because I just look up the key value pair together. Now, this does give an issue if people add equal signs in their values, or what is more annoying, equal signs in their keys. And yes, some people do actually do that. They shouldn't, but they do. You can create whatever tag you want, right? So for now, I'm only interested in amenities, which are bars, restaurants, pubs, banks, ATMs, stuff like that, shops, all kinds of shops, and tourism things like information plaques or what else exactly in the hotels and things like that are part of tourism. But most importantly, of course, this includes pubs. All right, so different objects find some tags important and other tags not, right? Most of the tags, most of the things like names and address, whether you can do smoking, whether it has wheelchair access and opening times, they are tags that you use for all of the documents. That's important for both restaurants and shops and pubs and everything, right? But the tag cuisine isn't really important for a pub because you don't really care what sort of cuisine it is. But for a restaurant, it's important, right? Is it German or Italian or Greek or whatever food you can come up with? For pubs, it's really important whether they have real ale and real cider. That might only be important if you actually live in the UK because they go crazy about real ales and real ciders there. But similarly, for a telephone point of interest, right, it's important which payment methods it accepts and things like that. So each of the different objects have different importance of tags. And in the app, I want to do something about that. Now, there's also different field types. Like I have freeform tags, like names. Cuisine is a pre-selected list of names that are already used. I probably want to add a way how you can add a different one as well, but I don't actually think that's important enough. Again, house numbers and streets, they are freeform tags. Wheelchair can either be yes, limited, or no, because that is how WheelMap defines it. In this screenshot, it's still a freeform tag, but I already changed that. I just haven't read on the screenshot yet. And things like that. Also, not all tags are important, right? It is important to know what type of object it is. The name is important. The address is important. The postcode may be less so important. Whether you can do smoking or whether it's wheelchair access is sort of useful, but not the most important thing, which is the name and where and what the address is. And then address, the tag for city isn't really important at all because this is a geographical database, right? We have the boundaries of the cities. So storing that as a tag, again, isn't that important. And even worse for, you can't probably even read that, but the bottom one is address country equals Germany. And of course, you can very easily see that by doing some bounding box analysis. So those tags are not important. So what I want to do is I want to reward tags that are important and sort of ignore tags that are not important, like city or country. So how does the app work? This is the basic idea behind this, that I have a cron top running every hour that calculates scores. And the scores depend on the importance of the tag and whether they have been filled in. Or not. So if an address isn't filled in, that is really important, which means that if the score is not 100, a missing address will take out a chunk of 25 or something out of that. I haven't quite come up with a correct algorithm for it, but I will at some point. It's also important that rule sets can change. So I need something that allows me to recalculate the scores for all of the objects. A score of 100 means nothing more can be added to this. Or at least of what the application thinks. But at some point, we might consider, well, it is actually sort of important whether it has sunlight or things like that. So then can add a rule to it so that the scores get recalculated. You can always check into an object, but you don't always get points for it. If there is no check-in made to this object yet, it allows you to suggest values for keys. And you get points when you suggest a new value. If there's already a suggestion, it allows you to vote, and you'll get points for approving or declining a suggestion for a change tag value. If you get 3+ votes, the change is propagated to OpenStreetMap. If you get three minus votes, that means your suggestion is going to be removed because you clearly made a typo, there's something wrong. And I will probably add some time limits to this as well, but again, I haven't quite thought of that. So you get points for different things. You get the amount of points depends on the tag's importance. Adding an address is going to give you more points than adding a country. Also, for votes, the amount depends on how soon after the suggestion was made. I think that's a good thing to do. Now, you get points. In some cases, I can't instantly give points. Like if after 3+ votes, an object or a suggestion has been accepted, then I will have to run a cron job that awards the points to all of the original suggester and all of the people that have approved it, or decline it and things like that. So this is more like Stack Overflow, if you're familiar with that, than with Foursquare, because on Foursquare, points are always awarded instantly. But I can't quite do that. There's also some penalties, because it's important that the data is quality very well done. So if your suggestion is declined, you'll get minus points for this. And similarly, if you have voted plus for a suggestion that was actually incorrect because it got declined later, you also get minus points for that. And I think that that should be a good balance of it working. Now, I haven't tested this theory in practice yet. Next week, there is a State of the Map conference in Birmingham. By then, I hope to have this app sort of ready. This is going to be difficult because I'll be on holiday first next week. So we'll see how that goes. But and then the other thing is I will be awarding badges. Then, like, you have updated the restaurant at 10 restaurants and stuff like that. Again, there are so many different possibilities here that I haven't thought about it yet. But I think what will be interesting to do is have, like, a month of a special challenge where you need to focus on disabilities and get extra points for disability tags. Or during Oktoberfest, you get extra points for adding information to pubs and bars and things like that. So having a bit of a, making it a bit of a game, because from what I see for myself, Foursquare is a game and it's quite addictive. And I hope that this gets addictive as well. I know for myself, mapping is really addictive. So we'll see how that goes. Technology, I want to keep as plain as possible. So it will be plain HTML. It will be mobile friendly by keeping things plain. No fancy extra gazillion amount of JavaScript stuff, because it just doesn't work very well on the phone most of the time anyway. I'll be using a library called Leaflet for displaying the map. That's the one you saw before. So again, it's very basic. It's very lightweight. On the backend, I'll be using MongoDB with its geospatial support to do searches near your current point and things like that, and data storage. And PHP as an interface layer, because it's a nice, simple glue layer, and I just happen to know it very well. So finding items, you can do with a couple of interesting queries. So points, polygons, like a building, are stored like this. So the L field has a type polygon, it has coordinates, which is an array of coordinate pairs. It's an array of arrays, because a polygon can have multiple rings. So like, yeah, a polygon can consist of multiple buildings, for example. And querying against this in MongoDB, you can do as follows. Again, this is just PHP syntax, but it works the same in any other language, really. So I search where the location field, which is actually a constant defining L, and I'm searching that near the geometry, which is a point in this case, is like longitude, latitude again, and the maximum distance is 500, because if you don't do that, you get all the points, and if you have 3 million points important, then your mobile will be trying to run the point for the next 4 hours, and it doesn't work very well. So I'm limited to maximum distance of 500. I will probably also limit it to the amount of points as well, because in some places there's so many points of interest that I want to restrict that a bit. Now, there's a whole bunch of other queries that are run in the background as well, like trying to figure out which cuisines are actually already in use. And for that, I use something called the aggregation framework. The aggregation framework is a MongoDB approach to doing aggregations with data. And as you can see here, I won't go into the full syntax, but if you are interested, I can explain that to you later. But it has a pipeline, and each element in the pipeline is an operator. So match, just like a query. There's project, which allows you to change how documents look like. In this case, I'm only interested in the tags, so that's the only thing that will be coming out of this. I do an unwind on tags, which changes an array to the amount of elements in the array, where the array is replaced by each of those elements, which is quite handy. And then I do another match to get rid of all the other tags that I'm not interested in. I then group on the tag to count. I don't actually need the count, but I group them by tag name, so it's like a distinct query. And then and lastly, I will sort them by underscore ID, which is the tag name. And with this, you then get a list of all the different cuisines that you have. And I do that for another few tags as well. I will also do the same for wheelchair. And this is actually really quite fast, even on a 3 million point data set. It's actually, I can run this aggregation query live, which is, I found pretty impressive. I hadn't expected that I could do that. All right. So the only other thing that we need to do is to store is suggestions. And suggestions I store as follows. The underscore ID field at the top is this auto-generated ID field. I need an auto-generated ID field, because the other ID field is the node itself, or the points of interest. And for each point of interest, I will have the ID, but I also have the key that we are updating data for cuisine, and the value in this case is German. In this case, there's two approvers already. Those are the user IDs. I've made those up because I don't have 80,000 users yet. It's just me. So that is an array of people that have this. I also count how many approvers and decliners there are, because that makes it a lot faster to do queries against. So whenever there's a new approver, I will actually update both those fields, which I can show you here. So this is the original document here, just from the previous slide. And I can call update query. So I want to update a document where ID is this one, key is cuisine, and value is German. And then as an update, I do three different things. What I do is I increment approver count by one, which increases this number. I push approvers the new user ID, which adds another element to this array. And then I set last, which is the last updated timestamp, to the current time. If you run this, it will add those three elements to the document. So with push is actually quite powerful, because it allows you to atomically modify the document to add a new element to an array. But of course, you can also do is first find it, then modify the array and upload it again. But that that creates race conditions. If you're doing it like this, then this update is atomic. So it works a lot better. So there's lots of query operators like this that you can do. But in this case, this works quite well. All right. Well, so what is the current state of this? I've imported all the data. I can show the data on the map. I will probably change how the icons look like, because I don't like the circles. And I store suggestions. The design isn't really quite there. As you can see, my very plain HTML, you can't actually really call a design. The storing of votes is sort of there. There's no user authentication. I haven't implemented points and badges yet, or score calculation, or feeding the data back into OpenStreetMap. So as you can see, quite a lot of things to do still. This is open source. It's on GitHub. If you're interested in helping out, let me know, and I can give you the link to the repository. But yeah, that's still to do, and that's still going to be taking quite a lot of time. So a bit of a wrap-up that I have here. First, I mentioned Foursquare. That's quite addictive to do, but sort of useless. So I want to do the same thing with OpenStreetMap data. Right? I showed you how this data looked like, what you can do with it. And I came up with Triangle as an alternative. Again, it needs a fancy badge and maybe a fancier name. And then, yeah, we have looked at importing the data, how stored are done, how I do certain queries with MongoDB, and then what's next. And lots of things are next right now. First of all, in 2 weeks, I will be presenting the same presentation in a 20-minute slot at State of the Map. How I'm going to do it, I don't know. Maybe I have to speak twice as fast. Or cut out a bit of the things. Well, I probably don't have to explain what OpenStreetMap is to them. So that cuts out at least 50 minutes. And yeah, that's happening next. And at some point, you will see this application live, I hope. All right, that's what I have to say. Are there any questions? All right, go ahead. I'll just repeat the question. Instead, Caesar. Yeah. All right, so the question is, how much time does it take to import a country like Germany into OpenStreetMap? Now, I have not done this with Germany. I only have done this with the UK, and that takes 7 hours. Importing into PostgreSQL what OpenStreetMap usually does was faster than that. But that's mostly because I haven't actually tuned it yet. Why Germany takes 4 days for you, I don't understand, because you should be able to import a whole planet in 4 days. So you might want to tune or get a lot faster hardware, I suppose. The OpenStreetMap team has a 40,000-pound server doing this kind of stuff. So yeah, you need, for the whole planet, a very, very fast machine. So this is why I want to cut out all the things I don't care about in this application. All right, second question. Okay, so the... So the question is, how do I update the data? Well, at the moment, I don't. I just re-import it all. For a city like St. Augustine, that takes me 3 minutes. So that works well enough for demos. But what I will want to do at some point is, yeah, have parse OpenStreetMap's data feeds and then automatically update the data. Now, doing that for only the points of interest, I think I can keep up with quite easily, because you get the events that points are deleted or recreated or moved or things like that. And updating that data in MongoDB, as long as your data set fits in memory, should be really, really fast. But you'd often see that more data is added compared to changes to data. And adding data doesn't require me to do queries in the database, so that can be done a lot faster than modifying data in the database. But I haven't done experiments with this yet, but I will be doing that soon enough. So if you're interested in what I'm doing with all the stuff, you can go to my website, Derek Wettens. Anytime I have something interesting to say, I will write an article about it. So feel free to check that. My slides will also be available here once I get home, probably after I come back from holiday, so that might take some time. Are there any other questions that you have? No? Nothing? Well, thank you very much. If you have anything later, I'll be around for another hour or so. Then I sadly have to go home. You can send me an email, or that's probably the easiest. Send me an email, and I'd be happy to give you answers as well. And if that's everything, then thank you very much.